The late, great author C.S. Lewis once wrote, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Have you noticed that kind of desire? That kind of hunger in yourself that nothing in this world can satisfy? Have you noticed that you're never quite satisfied? What do we do with that kind of insatiable hunger? Well, I think most of us eventually will take that insatiable hunger to people for satisfaction. We look to the companionship of a best friend, the love of a child, the security of a spouse, the approval of a parent, or the applause of just the right peer group to satisfy the hunger of our hearts. We take our hunger to people. And still, it's not enough. We are never quite satisfied. Why is that? Well, let's adjust the C.S. Lewis quote just a little bit. If we find ourselves with a desire that no person in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another person. See, you're too glorious for any person in this world to satisfy you. The Bible says you were created in God's image. It says that God has put eternity into your hearts and that your purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Of course, there is no one and nothing in this world that can satisfy the hunger of your heart. Enter the Lord Jesus. In our passage this morning, Jesus says these famous and unforgettable words in John 6, verse 35. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So what should we do with the insatiable hunger that nothing and no one in this world can satisfy? The answer is the big idea of our passage this morning. Come to the bread of life. Come to the bread of life. Now, let's be honest, we are used to taking our hunger to so many different places. And so, how do we come to the bread of life? What do we come to Him for? See three things in our passage today. Come to the bread of life. First, come to Him for eternal life. Second, come to Him for satisfaction. And third, come to Him to never be cast out. So come to the bread of life first. Come to Him for eternal life. Our passage this morning begins with the one miracle, the one sign that apparently is so important that it's the one that is recorded in all four Gospels. It's the feeding of the 5,000. So let's set the scene. Jesus has just had some significant conflict with Jewish leaders over his claim to a divine identity. And so after this conflict, he heads with his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and large crowds of regular folks gather to Jesus. And in an act of great compassion toward these crowds, these people, Jesus takes the meager lunch of a poor boy and multiplies it to feed 5,000 men, not to mention women and children. They are full to the brim, and there's food left over. Now, seeing this sign, the crowds conclude that Jesus must be the prophet promised way back in Deuteronomy, the prophet like Moses, and they go to make Jesus their king by force. Jesus, of course, is having none of this whole becoming an earthly king, and so he moves from the seashore up to the top of a mountain to be alone. Then Jesus' disciples, without Jesus, get into a boat and they head across the Sea of Galilee, and soon they find themselves in the midst of a massive storm. But then Jesus comes to them walking on water. And immediately he brings them to the other side of the sea and out of the storm. And I think this is really instructive. Jesus does not promise you a storm-free 2022. Jesus will put you into storms, but he'll be with you in the storm. And since he's Lord over the storm, he will bring you through it, which is better than a storm-free 2022. But believe it or not, the real action in our passage actually picks up the day after Jesus feeds the 5,000 and walks on the water, because the next day, these crowds that Jesus fed, they finally find Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they come to him, Jesus actually gives them an earful. Okay, listen to what Jesus says to them. This is John chapter 6, beginning in verse 26. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Then he says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." He says, you've come here for the wrong reasons. All you want is bread. In fact, all you do is work for bread that perishes. Now, let me be clear. Jesus is not here rebuking anyone for having a job or providing for their family. Actually, in 1 Timothy 5:8, we read that if a man won't provide for his family, it's the same as denying the faith. So what's Jesus condemning here? What's he warning them about? I think J.C. Ryle captures the warning really well. Ryle writes, "What our Lord did mean to rebuke was that excessive attention to labor for the body while the soul is neglected. What he reproved was the common habit of laboring only for the things of time and letting alone the things of eternity, of minding only the life that now is and disregarding the life to come." This warning to not only work for food that perishes, it really startles the crowd. And it leads them to ask a question, the most important question. It's, in fact, the question all of us, in one form or another, are asking. They ask, okay, well, if we're not supposed to work just for the things of this life, how do we work for eternity? In other words, what works do we need to do to have eternal life? What they ask in John 6:28 is this. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" See, the reason they ask about what they need to be doing to inherit eternal life, to see God, to be in a right standing before God, is because that's the only way our hearts will be satisfied. Remember, I said that the Bible says that God has put eternity into our hearts. And so we'll never be satisfied until we know that we have eternal life. And so the question everyone is asking in one form or another is, you know, how do I have eternal life? How can I be in a right standing before God? What works do I need to do? What path do I need to follow? What pillars do I need to uphold? How do I get nirvana, enlightenment, go to heaven? It's the question that everyone's asking. What good works do I need to do to be sure I have eternal life? Jesus' answer in verse 29 is that the work we need to do is a non-work. John 6:29. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." In other words, Jesus says, to have eternal life, just come to me because all the work has been done. You don't have to do any works because all the work has been done. Jesus has already lived the sinless life that we've all failed to live. Jesus has already died the atoning death we so desperately need. And with his dying breath, he said, "It is finished." And Jesus has already been raised to the right hand of the Father. He has done all the work for us to have eternal life. So the only work left to do is a non-work. It's to believe in Jesus, to receive him with the empty hands of faith, to rest in him alone for salvation. Your heart will never be satisfied until you know that you have eternal life. And you can know that you have eternal life if you come to Jesus, the bread of life. If you're not sure how to come to Jesus for eternal life, there's even a sample prayer on the front of your Connect card that can help give you language for coming to Jesus for eternal life. And if that prayer is the reflection of your heart and you receive Jesus with the empty hands of faith, he will give you eternal life. So come to the bread of life first, come to him for eternal life. Second, come to him for satisfaction. Come to him for satisfaction. So Jesus says, the only work you need to be doing is a non-work. To have eternal life, come to me. And so the crowds immediately respond by asking Jesus what I think is a very strange question. John 6, verse 30. So they said to him, well, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? In other words, they're saying, hey, what works are you doing that we should see that you really are who you say you are and believe in you for eternal life? I think it's a strange question because he just fed 5,000 of them with a poor boy's lunch. And they're saying, hey, you got to do something for us to really trust in you. It sounds a lot like me, actually. And then in verse 31, they start giving Jesus a Bible lesson. They start talking to him about some bread that their ancestors used to eat. John 6, 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What are they talking about? They're actually talking about one of the most significant events in the entire Bible. When God led his people out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground and toward the Promised Land. The event is so significant that the entire second book of the Bible is named after it. It's called Exodus. And after God brought his people through the Red Sea on dry ground by the hand of Moses, he brought them into the wilderness where they wandered for 40 years. And in the wilderness, God miraculously fed them. Do you know how he fed them? Well, with something called manna, bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is saying something very profound. Look with me at verses 32 to 33. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Translation, the manna that came down from heaven and fed God's people in the wilderness, which was very real, was just a type. It was just a shadow of Jesus, who is the true bread, come down from heaven, not just to nourish for a day, but to satisfy for eternity. John 6, 34 to 35, Jesus makes sort of the big reveal. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. God's people ate manna in the wilderness, but they hungered again the next day. But for all who come to the bread of life, who eat the true manna, the true bread from heaven, the true and greater sustenance from heaven, Jesus Christ, he will so satisfy the deepest longings of your soul that you'll never be hungry again. And the reason why Jesus can promise to satisfy us down to the very depths of who we are is because he's not just the bread come down from heaven. He is God himself come down from heaven. We know this because of Jesus using the phrase, I am. I am. I am is a very significant phrase. It actually comes from the wilderness period in Exodus, actually before Moses goes back to Egypt to rescue God's people. God appears to him and God tells Moses his name. Exodus 3, 13 to 14. This is what's in the background when Jesus says, I am. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. See, when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am God himself, come down in the flesh to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul forever. Only God can do that. You know, I made a bunch of goals for 2022. I haven't actually finalized them yet, but one of my goals is to read through this book as a sort of theology challenge. It's called The Wonderful Works of God by Herman Bovink. I'm doing this challenge because Walter, one of the members of our staff, challenged me to. And in the opening chapter of The Wonderful Works of God, Bovink says something that really reminds me of John 6. Here's what he writes. He says, first, God and God alone is man's highest good. He goes on to say, in all his thinking and in all his work, in the whole life and activity of man, it becomes apparent that he is a creature who cannot be satisfied with what the whole corporeal world has to offer. He concludes the chapter. The conclusion, therefore, is that of Augustine, who said that the heart of man was created for God and that it cannot find rest until it rests in his Father's heart. Man is an enigma whose solution can be found only in God. That's exactly what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. You were made for God. As Augustine says, your heart will be restless until it rests in him. Your heart will be hungry until it feasts on him. But Jesus is the bread of life, who's come down from heaven. Come to him, first for eternal life, but second for eternal satisfaction, now and forever. So I want to ask you a personal question. Where are you looking to satisfy the hunger of your heart? What are you looking to this year? Think, if only I can achieve that. If only I can experience that. If only they'll approve of me. If only I can marry them. If only we can have a child. If only we can get over this next mountain. If only we can get around the corner of this next life stage. If only things will slow down a bit. Then I'll finally be satisfied. Friends, if you take your hunger to anything in this world, you will crush it with your expectations. You will not be satisfied because you were made for God. But the bread of heaven has come down to satisfy you forever. And so bring all your hunger to Jesus and feast on him this year. Get to know him this year. Come to him. You can read God's word. Get involved in the church. Pray. But come to him with the hunger. When you're feeling like nothing in this world can satisfy you and no experience is quite enough, come to Jesus. Bring yourself to him again and again. Tell him about it. Ask him to once again satisfy your hungry for life heart. So come to the bread of life. First, come to him for eternal life. Second, come to him for satisfaction. And third and finally, come to him to never be cast out. You see, the problem with taking your hunger to people is that they can always cast you out. A friend group can always cast you out. The peers whose approval you want may actually never applaud, or they may stop. A child might go wayward. A parent may not approve. A spouse certainly won't fulfill you, and neither will that spouse of your imagination. You see, we want the significance and the security of being loved by the right people who will never let us down and never cast us out. But there is no one and nothing in this world that can promise you, I'll never cast you out. Enter the Lord Jesus. In John 6, 37 to 40, Jesus speaks some of the most comforting, some of my favorite words in the entire Bible. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So how can you be absolutely sure that the bread of life, if you come to him, he'll never cast you out, now and forever? How can you be sure that if you come to Jesus with all of your hunger, again and again and again, you will never get a stiff arm? You'll always get a welcome in close to his heart that is gentle and lowly. How can you be sure that he'll never cast you out? Well, it's because if you come to Jesus, Jesus tells us it's only because the Father planned before the foundation of the world, not on the basis of anything you would do, but on the basis of his sovereign grace, it's because God planned to give you to Jesus. And since the Father has given you to Jesus, Jesus, of course, would never cast you out. All that the Father gives to Jesus will come to him. And whoever comes to Jesus because it's the Father who's brought you, well, Jesus would never cast you out. And so, friends, come to Jesus. He is the only one who will never cast you out. And he will give you the significance, the security to have a friend, to have a peer group, to have a spouse, to have a parent, to have a child without crushing them with all your expectations so that you can truly love and enjoy them. So let's conclude with that C.S. Lewis quote. If we find ourselves with a desire that, and here's our change, no person in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another person. So friends, for the first time or for the millionth time, every day of this year, come to the bread of life. Come to him for eternal life. Come to him for the satisfaction of your soul. Come to him. He will never cast you out. Come to the bread of life. He is our life this year and forevermore.